Hey everyone, this is the e-commerce hotline, second episode here with the great Kaylin Jordan. I am your host, Meir Bianchi, founder of BeMeyer. We are an e-commerce and web solutions agency based out of Brooklyn, New York. And e-commerce hotline is our podcast to try to shake up the e-commerce podcast landscape. So as I said, I'm here with Kaylin Jordan, hailing from Austin, Texas. Originally from Cali because he's an OG like that. Kaylin is representing Mesa Automation, but he is so much more. Kaylin has been a veteran developer, entrepreneur, SaaS startup founder and exiter, hiring and recruiting lord. He is the man. So Kaylin, welcome.
Keep pumping.
Yeah, you're the man. Why don't you... Yeah. All right. So also, he's an all-around great guy and a good friend of mine. I've known him for darn near 10 years now. He has helped me with my company at various stages. And I've also been a guest on his podcast. So this is kind of like the resurgence, the full circle. And we are here today to talk about automations, entrepreneurship, life, and more. So Kaylin, would you kindly introduce yourself and hop on in there?
Dude, I couldn't possibly... do better than you. That was amazing. That was great. I'm excited to be on the pod. 1-800 e-commerce. Is it 800 e-commerce or is it?
It's 888-499 e-com. That's 3266.
Okay.
And
hell yeah.
And actually, if you'll permit me, as a segment of this, I will actually play you the jingles. I just haven't figured out how to do some interactive soundboard stuff on this.
No, please. Let's get that. Let's get that right away.
All right, we will. We'll save that for the end. So please, without further ado, tell us a little bit more about yourself, what you're repping, and just kind of like say something about Mesa, which is the Shopify ecosystem automations company you're working with.
Yeah, man. So Mesa is the product. ShopPad is the company, and we have a bunch of different apps. We have like 9 or so different apps. Infinite Options is a real popular one.
I did not know that.
Do you know Infinite Options?
No, I want to know. I'm going to learn about all 9 apps on this. We're going to all learn about the 9 apps on this call.
Hell yeah. Mesa is the kind of the flagship, and so that's what I spend my time on. And we're kind of like a Zapier, you know, for Shopify type of an app. And what else? I do a lot of workflows. Every day I try to bang out a little workflow.
And so you're like a worker bee of the workflows. Like you're constantly innovating.
Yeah, I'm definitely a worker bee. You know, I it's kind of an interesting role. It's kind of a little bit of a marketing role, a little bit of a tech role. I do a little bit of custom code here and there, but I realized that I have to, you know, because my background is as a developer. And then I built a couple of businesses, and I got a little further away from the code.
That's right.
But in this role, I've been just trying to get my footing. You know, last year I started in May, I want to say, maybe March, April part.
The changing of the seasons and the changing of the guard. So for those of you watching, Kaylin was a maven of the Magento ecosystem, and he pulled a LeBron James. He went from the, you know, essentially from the, you know how LeBron went from the Eastern Conference to the Western Conference. Kaylin went from Magento to Shopify, and he's like, any ecosystem you put Kaylin in, he is going to dominate the paint. So first he's going to master the APIs. Then he's going to be like, yo, I know the APIs. I could talk to anyone. He's a legend on the Shopify forums, probably the Shopify Discord, all these communities, which I don't spend my time in because I'm not, you know, I'm just not out there. I'm not in the mix. I'm on the streets. But Kaylin's in the digital streets, knowing everyone in this Shopify ecosystem. He established himself in Shopify when he moved to Mesa. And you're kind of like originally an evangelist for the product, but you're also developing the product using the APIs and your development talent that you personally possess to solve problems. And tell me, you also get to work firsthand with a lot of merchants, right? Like you actually get to get into people's businesses and test out these automations and help them solve problems, which I think is really cool because it's rewarding when you build something, it gets results and you get feedback. So much of being a developer is you build something, you never really find out what happened. So this must be like validating from that perspective.
Yeah, it's cool to jump in to a customer's account. And you know, by the way, it's interesting. I'm always comparing and contrasting Magento to Shopify, and there's a lot of really interesting parallels that have kind of surprised me. And but you know, jumping into someone's account is, I mean, you know, there's a whole system for it in Shopify.
I love the partner dashboard. I love the partner logins. It's so easy to work with.
Yeah. And so, but like, and I'm just thinking back to Magento, like getting into someone's account was like a whole deal.
Yep.
But
you got to get your biometric scan, 2FA. No, I was kidding. Keep going.
you gotta get into the source code, mess things up, get straight into the database. But so yeah, I like getting into, you know, like I had a forums thing just today. They wanted to do a daily deal daily discount deal for products that are not performing well, right? To try to push some of that inventory that's not moving. So, I started working on a little demo. I said, hey, if you want me to get it, you know, in and check it out, I can do that. They reply, they install the app, they're going to give me access, and then I can pop in and, you know, start figuring it out with it. Cause I you can build it in your demo account, but then, you know,
this is real practical data.
Yeah. You'll run into some specifics how, you know, how many, even it's just how many products they have, any particulars of if they have certain meta fields set up or anything particular to their environment.
It's very hard in Shopify to recreate the laboratory conditions of someone else's store in any kind of an efficient way. There's no way to do like a lift and shift, like, okay, like snapshot this so I can get my hands on it. You can't clone to a demo. Like you can't even have the merchant clone to another store. So you're forced to kind of get into production and just be really careful, which is exhilarating, exciting, but also scary, because then it's just like the old school Magento parallel where it's like when someone's like, oh yeah, just go in my production store. You're like, no, like now you're going to blame me if something goes wrong. So is that, am I overselling it, or is that a real concern sometimes when you have to get into someone's environment?
No, it is like, It definitely is like and a lot of times our support by default doesn't make any changes or even run workflows. They'll say, hey, we've set the workflow up for it. You can run it. I'll generally get in there and go in and run a test and do you know, there's certain, like if you have a workflow that's canceling orders or something like that, then I'll put a step in that so it never gets to that step of the workflow so I can test it. But if you're just tagging a product or something like that, if it's something you can easily reverse.
Yes, then tagging products is fine for sure. Yeah.
But if you're doing something that's like not super reversible, then you want to be, you know, super careful.
Well, the example you shared is interesting because I was going to ask, is the automation where if a product hasn't sold in a certain amount of time and we have X amount of inventory on hand, discount it and put it here in this category so people can find it? Or is it something like that?
Yeah. So like, this may end up changing a little bit. Like, I don't know if I'm going to have to create a unique discount for each product. Yep. If they want different discount levels for each product, then we could do that. That'd be a different route to go. But the way I did it, this morning is just, set up a discount based on a product collection and then, just tag the product to get it into that collection.
Got it.
So then the discount will apply. So it ended up being like, when I was going into it, I thought I was going to have to create a discount for each of these products.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I can just tag
that. Makes sense. And what's the criteria for a product becoming tagged with this tag that says release them to the discount hounds? Like what's the
trigger? In this case, And so this is funny because it's like, so there was a couple ideas that the dude had, and one was to, so Shopify does this thing. Do you want me to, dude, should I just like share my screen or something like that?
You are definitely allowed to do that. I would say, please do. And before you do, I would like to take a time out and discuss our sponsor, DrinkSip, who obviously hasn't really, they haven't really physically sponsored, but I have some of the DrinkSip product and they're friends of ours. And DrinkSip is a non-alcoholic beer brand. So it's 3:45, 3:54 on a Friday, which is actually an appropriate time to drink a real beer, but we're keeping it non-alcoholic with this DrinkSip Hazy IPA. There's the 3:11 Stealing Hoppy Hours, the Watermelon Wheat, and the other Watermelon Wheat. And DrinkSip, great DTC brand on Shopify. So maybe they can benefit from your automations as well as they scale the
Oh, hell
brand
yeah.
and the business. So just
Oh,
had to give that
nice.
little shout out. Now, why
Dude,
don't you
that's
show me
so
this
cool.
automation or this demo you're going to show me?
How did you pick them up as a sponsor? That's cool, man.
Well, I will tell you that story in a second, but my question for you is this: are you sharing screen by overlaying it over your camera, or are you doing this on like the Riverside screen share?
Yeah, I'm getting a little advanced, dude. I'm overlaying it on my camera. If that
Okay, using
works,
OBS. Are
because
you an OBS guy?
yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah,
I'm gonna crack
yeah.
that drink sip.
All right,
Okay,
cool.
so that's cool. We can work with this. I was hoping to have the different footage so I could remix it a bit, but go for it, man. This is awesome. Show me the deal.
I could do a regular screen share too.
Please,
Honestly, though.
what is life without the chance to react to unforeseen conditions? So I would like you to carry on as
Okay.
if I didn't say that.
And
Because
honestly, I
what percent of
swear,
my
like,
guests are going to be using OBS and doing this? Zero. So 0.01, only Kaylin. So.
Dude, I started doing streams. Like, I've done two, and I didn't
Oh,
stream it live,
man.
but I recorded it, but as if it was live. And I think that
Yes,
the
it's
next one
fun.
I'm gonna
I
stream
have
live.
a, on our streaming setup, I have different scenes. Like I'm gonna have an after these messages, we'll be right back scene. So that way, if you gotta go to the bathroom, you can pause it and no one hears anything. I've mastered that one. And then I have like, I wanna
Nice.
have different camera setups. So it's like, if you're saying something heartfelt and interesting, I could press a button and now you're the focus of the stream or vice versa.
Nice, dude. I'm super impressed by your setup, dude. You've taken it
I've
leaps
learned
and
from the
bounds
master, please.
further.
It all
Yeah,
started with you.
you've become the master. The student has become the teacher, dude, for sure. Damn, I just dropped
Never,
my
man.
mouse.
The game of life.
But what were we
You were
gonna
going to
show?
show me the trigger
Oh,
for the
okay.
daily
So
deal.
they had two
Yeah.
idea. They had one idea was this ABC product analysis is something Shopify does out of the box. It grades your
Okay.
products based on
That's
basically like
tight.
how they're selling and stuff. But this is not available in the API, which I was surprised to see that because I would think it would be pretty easy to pull
So
this
this
in
is
because
like the
they're already.
Shopify 80-20 rule. Like it tells you like here's where your volume is really coming from, and here's the winners and the losers of your catalog. That's
And
awesome.
so what I wanted to do was see if I could grab that. Couldn't grab that. So then the next option was to just grab products that haven't sold in the last 3 months. So that was the direction I went
So
with.
you're kind of like an API navigator. Like if
Dude,
APIs was the North Seas of North America and you're a Viking in the year 800, you're trying to find your
dude,
way.
I'm all over the APIs, man. I'm always screwing around in there, figuring
It's a whole
things out.
undercover love language. Shout out to like Blank Lob and Gil and all
Hell
those people
yeah.
building in public and my man Henry the gift card guy, because I'm sure the
Hell
people that are
yeah.
building apps like yourselves are discovering random things every day with these APIs. And why is this not here? Why did they change that? And it can be frustrating.
Yeah, and that's something that's different from Magento in the sense that in Magento you have the code, so you can always figure out the
Can
way
make your own
anything
API.
works. Make
Yeah.
your own, but it's an interesting thing with Shopify where you'll discover some undocumented feature, or you'll discover something, and or you'll discover a new feature before it's announced for additions or something like that. So there's this whole process around getting to know the APIs and the product as well, and finding things and figuring things out. It's kind of cool. It's kind of like a treasure. It's kind of like a treasure hunt in a way.
It reminds me of like old school in this realm where people didn't have certain, like you didn't have it. So anything you found, you were just going on your like IRC or you had certain places to talk to, but it's really just kind of like uncharted waters. So
So
there's
they
that
didn't
drink
have
sip
that.
burp, the delicious satisfaction of drink sip. Keep going.
So they didn't have that one. And then and so I just did it. I did it by looking at the sales over the last 60 days or something like that.
Okay, so if something
And
ain't sold in 60 days.
yeah. So and this is one of the cool features we have that make certain things possible that aren't possible with like Flow as an example. Because another thing you can't do directly, I'm pretty sure, is to query the API in order to say, in order to say how many. You know what? Actually, I take that back. You could query the API to say how many sales have happened for this SKU in the past time period. But
Okay.
there are cases where something's not possible to query in the API directly. So we have a data feature where we can save something to our data store and then we can query it. So that's what I did here. So basically I'm saving the products and the order line items to the database so that I can query them in
Which
order to
database are they being
figure that
saved
out.
to?
So we have a Postgres database
Okay, hold on,
that
let me stop
is
you right
just
there. So you're
yeah.
telling me Mesa Automations, as part of the value add when you sign up for this app and service, is you get a nice little cushy corner of their data warehouse, aka their Postgres database, where
Yeah.
the data gets sucked down so that it can be played with and transformed, essentially a middleware, but
Yeah.
basically that way you can then push it back up and do things. Otherwise, you'd be doing things with, that makes sense. It's only logical. But that's really cool that you guys have that because that really unlocks unlimited potential of what you can do.
Yeah, there's some cool use cases that it allows you to do, and I'm trying to think of a good example off the top that isn't really possible with the APIs. But there's like, okay, here's a good one. This is like a bestsellers collection over a specific time period, where like Shopify gives you bestsellers out of the box,
Yes.
but the it's looking at all time. So
And it
you
doesn't
can
let you
sort of,
slice and dice it.
no, you can't slice and dice it on a time period. So I use the database again for that, to just again store the orders by the product ID or the SKU or something like that,
And
and
can you
then to
even pull
just
down
query
like
them
order
up.
tags and things like that? So that way it's like orders which this condition happened or this, status and all of that. That's cool. And then
Yeah, all that
for
stuff.
all the store owners out there watching this, because who knows who's watching this? If the what you need to think about when you think about automations and stuff like Kalen is doing and Mesa is doing, is you have to take this back to a I wish I could have or I wish I could do as kind of the root of what this does to transform your business and why you need something like this. So it once again goes back to your business owner acumen, your business owner imagination, because you need to be willing to explore or solve a problem or vocalize, hey, I'm having this. If I had this, I could do that. That's where these guys come in.
And that's, I mean, that's like very much half the battle is to figure out those use
Yeah, knowing
cases.
is half the battle, knowing how to ask for help because so many people are just in this, in their bunker mentality and they don't lift their chin up. And you got to say, hey, what can I get here? What are you having a disco party back there?
I'm switching up.
Epilepsy warning.
I set up two scenes so that I could do my screen share scene and my.
Oh, I love it. Scene. That's cool. So yeah, my man is doing all the work for me.
Dude, I'm getting you dialed. Oh,
it's good and bad, right? From a side podcast. Yeah, from a podcast commentary perspective, it's hard because think about it. If this was Riverside, then I would have a video of your screen share separate from your video. So like while you're screen sharing, I could actually switch back and forth to be like, look at the furrow of his brow as he says this. But it's just right. Funny because I'm like constantly imagining ways to make this better.
You're right.
Keep going.
Right.
But but that's what I was doing yesterday. I was on a live stream making scenes, trying to screen share.
Yeah.
And my monitor over here is like, I don't know, 15 feet away from me. So I can't see because it's, you know, it's like a 14, you know, it's a high resolution. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a little monitor down here, like a nice 15-inch touchscreen joint in front of me. So that way, if I want to manipulate something, I can see.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, there's always a million things to tweak with
these. I'm going to have fun
with these setups. Good, man.
I'm going to have fun editing this episode because you see this thing next to me, right? Like, this is so I can put you and your feed in the room with me, but then I'm going to switch the camera angles to be just your feed or just me, and it's going to be like a really fun editing experience.
Hell yeah. Okay. Nice.
Man. Yeah. And then I think this camera over here, what's good, side camera, is possibly getting me, or it's just taking a picture of plants and my face is completely obstructed. But we'll see where it goes. Okay.
right.
So, so what are we looking at now?
Are you seeing my main screen? Or are you just seeing the screen share? Or?
I see you and I see a lot of flashing, but now it's not flashing.
You know why it's flashing? I think it's because
your green
Riverside is doing this background blur.
Bunch of tryhards. So, oh, you have some visual effect turned on. Can't you turn that off?
No, I was trying to figure out how to turn off the background blurring.
But isn't the background blurring a function of your camera or one of those other? You know, because I didn't see anything about background removal on Riverside, but I didn't really look that hard.
Yeah, I didn't remember it doing that either. But like in my I'm looking at myself in OBS and it's normal. And then it's doing weird stuff in Riverside.
For those of you watching, this is also a podcaster's podcast. You know what I mean?
That's
like you're talking to two innovators in the space. So we're optimization is part of the game. As you know, if you host a podcast or you're thinking about starting a podcast, don't, because we don't want it to get more crowded. But if you decide to do anyway, just kidding, please, the more the merrier. But if you decide to do it anyway, there's going to be a lot of tweaking, unless you're just one of those people that has a boring Zoom recording. I respect you because you're probably just more focused on the quality of your conversations. But guys like us, we need to, be very specific.
Go nuts. What was I talking about, dude? All so right, I can so keep doing the demo and stuff or
well no that's what I'm saying. I want to cover different different facets of your product. So we spoke about the daily deal and how a merchant could use underperforming items and automatically put them on sale to keep their inventory moving and cycling, so you don't have something sitting in the back of the warehouse. What are some other cool automations or use cases that you find yourself using?
Okay, dude. So, let me take you on a journey here through
epilepsy warning, big time. Yeah, that blur is killing me, fam. Yeah, that wasn't happening before. Just so you know, when you were sharing, oh, there you go. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, that the background.
It's perfect now, crystal clear.
Okay, good. It messed up my resize. Okay. So I'm gonna give you a sprinkling of some of the recent ones. So this is backing up your images to Google Drive. Okay.
That's business owner conundrum. I heard you talking about this on LinkedIn the other day. Solutions like Rewind, who are leading backup solutions of Shopify, Do they not back up the images?
I'm pretty sure they do. So Rewind is going to be a great overall backup. And I honestly don't know, because I'll see a request from someone and you never know if – because there's so many weird ways to do things. Also, sometimes people want to save money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's like so many weird ways to do things. So it's always hard to know, like, is this – a crazy random use case that you shouldn't really be doing, or
man, it says is it Shopify, gonna make sense? It for says Google. It's a big one. If it says Shopify and Google, let it happen. No, because what I think about backing up your images is so important is it's like by product labeled the same way they're labeled on the back end of Shopify, right? Like you do want that. So can your integration create a folder per product or dump it all in one place, standardize the naming schema, like. What does this do?
Yep. So this one just grabs updated files, and then it just saves them whenever they're updated to Google Drive. So that was kind of a fun one, and then that was a simple one. This is a simple one too. Low inventory.
Yeah, but powerful at scale, man. Like I've got 1,000 products. I don't want to have to sit there and do that. Or maybe the media is disorganized, or you want to. Use your automation to take a monthly snapshot, for example.
Yeah.
In Shopify, there is no undo button. If you delete the image, that's it. It's gone.
Yeah.
Now that you can use Google's AI to generate product images and product backgrounds, and then they get saved as Shopify images, technically you can make a workflow where you AI generate a bunch of stuff, back it up to Google Drive, go use it in a different marketing channel that's not connected to Shopify. It's really powerful. So, great job.
Thanks, man. Low inventory alerts to Notion. That's kind of a simple one.
For all you Notion geeks, we're dropping tables Notion, on you.
Yeah, you do. Your Notion geeks are our dedicated crowd.
People, shout out to Notion. I'm paying for you.
Yeah. This one is doing an order meta field from line item properties. That's a little bit technical. The best sellers collection over a time period is kind of cool. Low stock notification with specific levels per product, as opposed to doing a low stock alert for the same level.
Meaning like this will tell you the actual inventory and send you a notification.
Yeah, but also this one is going to use a meta field on the product to say, okay, these red shoes, I want an alert when they get below 10. This blue shirt, I want an alert when it gets below 5.
Oh, so more nuanced than just globally setting the threshold at 3. Because, what if you have something that you always got to keep 500 of? You don't want to wait till there's 3. You need to know when there's like 40.
Yeah. This one is kind of cool. It adds a little form to a product page that you could submit the form and it'll tag the product and stuff. So there are a couple of ways that you can do stuff on the front end, either with a little bit of JavaScript or with our standard form action. Yeah, and then you can tie it into the front end really easily.
Maybe tie it into customer feedback?
Yeah, customer feedback was the example that I gave. Actually, the person who asked for this workflow, I don't know what they were planning to do in the forum because they didn't get back to us, but I said, that's a cool idea. So I built this out. I'm not sure that it makes that much sense to get customer feedback on a product page.
I have a friend, Axis Consulting, Boris from axisconsulting.io, and he's the automations lord, right? So I think a product like yours would be amazing in someone like his hands. I thought I connected you guys, but if not, I should because once again,
I think
we talked. You did, right? So you guys got to talk again. Because if someone lacks imagination, that's where the dream starts and stops, right? Like my mid-journey queries and prompts have gone downhill like BigCommerce's stock price. Sorry, guys. But they've gone downhill. They have gone downhill over time. When I started using mid-journey, I was like all in the mid-journey gallery. Like, okay, what query did they use to do this? Oh, Fujifilm 35mm and dropping these big queries just to try to get some effects. And now I want a graphic. I'm like, like, man, doing this, like, I am the laziest prompt writer. But this is exactly like this. If you lack imagination, you're going to be SOL when it comes to the competition. So I think it's an important skill set for business owners and their personnel. Or if you're just an independent e-commerce operator, like, say you have a job at a brand and you're trying to be better at your job, this is one way to really level up at your job. Like, yes, you have to get the purchasing approval to buy the app, but think about, this is like a force multiplier. This makes you better at your job, which makes your results and your performance more stand out in the performance of your business. And that's what I think the message I want to hone in on when I see something like this, and why it gets me so excited and why I love what you're doing, because it has limitless potential to create those Shopify success stories and, you know, help someone overcome a problem. So I know, like, this might not be like the sexiest topic, but at the same time, it's really transformational. It's really powerful because it's limited only by someone's imagination. And obviously having a Kaylin Jordan to be the delivery engine of great API work that helps create these connections. The innovator, if you will.
Yeah, like, you know, with automation, it's the powerful thing is that you can do a million, you can do so much. It's very powerful. But the downside to it is that it's abstract in general. It's very abstract. Like, it's interesting to, like, the last kind of sales call that I did, I did what I'm doing now. I just started scrolling through my demos and talking through them. And then they started going, oh, that's cool. Oh, you can do that. Oh, you can do that. Oh, you can do that. So I think it's not the most like elegant, pitch, approach, mm-hmm. but it's kind of like the best I've figured out is to just go through all these and kind of talk through them. So it's kind of the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
I would say this is a variation on the out of stock thing where you're tagging, products that are out of stock or size broken, which I didn't know size that term broken. Until the other day.
I just saw that term. That? Like, your size is broken. What does that mean? if I only have medium and large and no small, no extra large, it's like, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. One of your, and it's actually more broad than just sizes. It's like if any variant under a product is out of stock, then they call it size broken. That was one use case I got from an agency. They were using a couple other automation products that were like not always reliable. So I built this one out trying to get them to switch over.
I hope they did. I hope it worked.
Not yet. But we're
well. That's recent. Yeah. How many of these are you cranking out a day or a week, man? Like, do you have graph? Like, when I started in May, there were this many automations. Now we're here, like, you know, the Kaylin stock market. Reverse e-commerce stock. Sorry, guys.
I just crossed 100 of these suckers, actually. And I do one every day. And since I started in the, like,
slow clap.
Thanks, man. Yeah, since I started last year, there were some periods where I was less consistent. And then I was like, this isn't working. I'm not getting enough traction. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to stick with it. It's important. I found this is what I meant when I said I have to be close to the kind of like close to the code, to the product. Like, I think some people can, in like a marketing context or sales context, they can be kind of higher level and they can make that work. And I was kind of trying to do that, but it just didn't work. So I have to be like a bit lower down in the stack. And so I like doing these. It's good. It's a good like little challenge for me, and I've been getting a little bit of traction with them, so I'm sticking with it.
All right.
But yeah, there's.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Setting a customer meta field. That's another one. Oh, here's an interesting one. Displaying a price history on a product page using meta objects. So meta objects are pretty, you know, flexible. You can basically create any.
Yeah. The Lord opened the heavens and gave us meta objects sometime last year, right?
Yeah, I think it was sometime last year. I don't remember exactly, but definitely a little before my time. So this one.
What are meta objects as opposed to meta fields? So those are more complex data stores. Like, explain it for all those who, like me, obviously, I know what a meta object is, folks. But for those of us who don't, I would say, explain more the complexity of meta objects, right? Because meta objects are something that, to say, a Magento merchant or someone that's already had complex data stores available on a product level, it's kind of like, to me, the platform is playing catch up. But now that you have meta objects, it's only, once again, shout out to Shopify and their engineering team, it's now enabled 52 new dimensions of the prism of e-commerce. And so the fact that you're talking about meta objects, but then you're using them on the back end and the front end, I want to know, get into the details of this one just a little.
Yeah. So these are some meta objects that I have in here. Let me bump up the font size a little bit. For this price history, I created a price point in time meta object, which just stores your
that is so cool. Price. So does the meta object live in a global database, but then there's a meta object entry per product when you create one?
Yes, basically, yeah. Although they don't have to necessarily be tied to a product, but they can.
No, that's why they're meta. They could be anything, but this is a meta object for a product. So what this is imagine a little tiny file drawer, right? Like imagine a little filing cabinet at the product level, and then my man is inserting an entry every time the price changes, and you can just open that drawer and rifle through the history of this product. Why is that so powerful? Because say your supplier cost went up or you had a stock shortage, you know, like, why did we change the price? What was the reason for that? Can you even go back and enter some data against that? Like, meaning why did the price change?
You could, yeah. You could
add who changed the price, which user, what thing changed the price? That could be interesting too.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think that. I'm gonna go look at the. I don't think that the webhook gives you the.
I've done it again. I've opened the can of worms. So yeah, analyzing the webhook. He's analyzing the webhook to see what data it gives you for what potentially can be stored in that meta object at this snapshot.
Yeah, exactly. So like this is that workflow, and then this is
look what at that beautiful webhooks, interface.
Yep. Is what those webhooks look like, and then you can pop into one and look at the details. So yeah, okay. and there are actually a number of use cases where you would like to see who was the user that did something. And that's one of the things that isn't available a lot of times.
What if a rogue agent changed the price?
Yeah,
just so another they could sell an order out the back door to their boy. It's happened.
Yeah, another thing, a request I've seen was for like an audit history of anything changed in the admin. I was like, oh, that's a great use case.
Admin action vlog? That is a good one.
Yeah, is that a Magento? That's a Magento module, right?
Well, little folks, that's been available for a decade or more on the other platform. But the thing is it used to be an enterprise-only feature on Magento. Like out of the box, there was some kind of admin's actions log. And then independent developers have created that so that every time something happens, it records that data. Honestly, that's one of my really, not must-haves, but a really good to have when building a new store, because that, especially if you have multiple admins or even in yourself, right? Because how do you know when you did something sometimes? You don't remember. Yeah. So is this a store activity log?
They do have this. This is a native feature, is a store activity log.
That's the one I'm talking about.
And I think it's going to show all that, but we just don't have API access to it, which is.
So you can't manipulate the store activity log. Shopify has it. So.
Yeah.
Any shit talking I did is nullified. And why am I talking shit? I love it all. This is not. This is not a fanboy podcast.
No, but this is the funny thing about you, man. And I see this in your posts and stuff. Is that you tend to like be a little negative on Shopify, which like why? I've full on drank the Kool-Aid, you know, like
my man has drank the Kool-Aid and he is dead in a field in Guyana somewhere. Jim Jones has said, jump, you know, Toby said, jump off a bridge and he jumped off a bridge. No, real talk. RIP to the victims of the Jonestown massacre, especially the members of Congress and all the American citizens who were duped the member of Congress, it's a crazy story. The member of Congress didn't get duped into Jim Jones, but he got killed while on a journey to try to rescue those
That
people.
Was a while back, right? That was back
this
in the
This was
day,
in like late 70s, early 80s. Don't quote me exactly on it, but it was a wild time in the world. But now that we're going back away from the history lesson, I will just say this. What I like to see is truth to power. So in these e-commerce ecosystems, because of a consolidation of the market, we have far too many companies, far too few companies holding too much power. Like Google rules the internet with an iron fist. If Google says tomorrow, hey man, all websites got to have, you know, the seal of authenticity by next January, that's happening, right? Just like Core Web Vitals, all these other things, like Google is pushing it. And then same thing with Shopify. They hold a lot of power over their ecosystem. And so as they take more space in the market and control more market share, they can use that for good. They can use that for evil. And there's just a lot of people that have been hurt by changes, right? Or have seen their service levels diminished. And so if I'm making a comment that could be interpreted as negative, it's more like, you know, like, hey, be better than this. Just like with Adobe and Magento, there's a lot of things where the ball got dropped or things that were perceived as bad in the ecosystem. Same thing with BigCommerce, right? Like, hey, they didn't have multi-store. They came out with multi-store. You know, like, hey, be better. But obviously, just to empathize with billion-dollar companies, which is hard to do, but to empathize with these companies is you have real technical and engineering challenges which prevent you from doing certain things with your product. And so Shopify has priorities. They have a board. They have shareholders. They have certain things they're beholden to, and they're trying to balance different sides of the market. So just, you know, this is a mea culpa to say that I understand the complexity, and I'm not here to badmouth anyone. This is really all about just what's good for merchants and what's good for the ecosystem at large, because this is a free and fair economy. And so choice is good.
Yeah. I mean, the truth to power thing, though, I will say, like, there's a lot of, and I don't think people realize this, but there's a lot of people in the Shopify ecosystem that talk trash constantly.
Constantly, because they're about, so disappointed.
Well, I mean, you know, you run into things day to day, and they talk trash all the time. It's, I would honestly say that there's more trashed, like trash talk from the Shopify community in the sense of feeling free to vent frustrations, concerns,
well, think
whatever.
About it. I would say 800 there's more customers. Yeah, there's more
like
of that, for sure.
But even like, cause what you said is truth to power. They're a $1 billion company. I would say that relative to like in the Magento ecosystem, it was like, if you're a partner, you shut your mouth, you don't say anything publicly. And
America.
I don't think that's, And if you think that like, okay, since Shopify is more powerful, bigger, that dynamic would get worse and worse, I think it's relatively speaking, it's better. There's more freedom of expression, I would say, in the Shopify ecosystem.
Well, there's more tentacles of the beast, right? Shopify has so many more people who are responsible for their dominion in the ecosystem. So if you know that person, you can reach out to them. Plus Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. People are always like, help me, Harley Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope, right? Like when there's a bad situation, when there's an injustice in Shopify, all people do is just go on the thing and be like, hey, Toby. Hey, Harley. Hey, Harley. Hey, Harley. Like you see, I've seen this countless dozens of times. And it's awesome because they'll get involved. Like, okay, we're going to have someone reach out to you. And like on one hand, okay, it shouldn't have to come to that level because the, you know, hundreds of support people below that should have done their job properly. But the point is, at least there is that responsiveness from the executive level, which you don't see. Mr. Flashing Discotheque over here.
Am I flashing, you know, again?
Really hard on the eyes, man. But anyway, I think that's so important what you said, because there are a lot of vocal people, because the way I view it is it's really a victim of the success, right? If you flip that challenge on its head, well, people are only going to be vocal because there's so much riding on it, right? You have real people, real businesses depending on solutions. And if they can't get help, if there's an injustice, or if there is a matter where some API isn't working or something's broken, that can affect hundreds of customers and cascade to their dissatisfaction with the app that they're using. So you do see a lot of vocal app makers. You see a lot of vocal those kind of folks, developers.
Yeah.
I feel like you see vocal merchants. You don't see as much vocal partners. You do not see as much vocal agencies. I feel like you see vocality in terms of features and spreading the good word, but I just don't think it's practical. And there's a lesson I've had to learn in my career. Like, it's not really practical to go out there and complain unless there's a major injustice. It's better if you just try to work the channels or ask a friend, because going out in public and making a bunch of noise is not always the best way to retain a good standing with folks. And so it's just more about politics and balancing that.
Yeah, but you sort of said two contradictory things. You're like, well, I believe in speaking truth. I believe in truth.
No, I'm saying why there might be times when I'll say something, right? Like, hey, stop fucking bad-mouthing X platform. If your platform's so good, then just let it stand on its own two feet. It's really corny to see, like, the CEO of Shopify, one of the overlords of the planet Earth, picking on a beloved product manager from Magento. You know, like, that was a really cool move,
come
Toby.
On, dude.
No, that was corny, dude. Most, but, yo, but wait.
That was the
on.
Most
but,
innocent and, like, no, but, it was but, just...
No, but what was nice is he went back, made a mea culpa, same day, he's human, and that's what was so beautiful about that moment. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, you can call it contradictory, but, like, no one else would do that, which is why Shopify is so cool, because you're not going to have, you know, the like Mark Benioff or whoever's in charge of Salesforce going out there and doing that. He's too busy, like, dominating the world from the boat, the yachts, you know, like, or whatever, from the boardroom, like.
Yeah.
Toby's a real guy. He's a real daddy. He plays video games with his kids on weekends. Like, Shopify's awesome for that reason.
Yeah. Like,
so,
I think
I'm a contradiction
that,
lord. Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah, you are. I think that they're very, like, from the top, like, I think Toby and Harley are very, like, genuine people. You know, they're kind of, they're honest. They're like, they'll, you know, I would say Toby even more so.
Toby,
Harley's
for real.
Super cool.
I just respect Harley for what he's done in the face of geopolitical things and standing up for his people. Yeah. And, like, you know, like, and taking being willing to take a stand for that is impressive, because you don't always see that from publicly traded companies.
Yeah, that's another example of somebody just saying, you know, talking about what's real to them, whether it's, like, the corporate thing to do or not. And I think that that's something that people outside of Shopify don't really get, is that there's, you know, there's a lot of, like, just being human, being a real person at the same time, performing incredibly well and being, you know, like, just being a real person, like, tweeting the stuff you think and being involved, being engaged on Twitter. Like, the Magento leadership isn't really like that.
No, there were certain people. No, it was a different animal.
Yeah. So, like I said, man, I've sort of drank the Kool-Aid, which is kind of my thing. Like, I think it's like,
you're flashing again. Got a comment on the flashing? Because you're seeing such hot fire.
That'd be funny if. Oh yeah, I think maybe when I move. Yeah, it's doing.
Yeah. And It's something weird. Like, you got to kill whatever that is, because it's filter, filter, filter. And, like, for example, my Riverside ain't doing that. There's no background filter on mine. You can keep talking. I'm just going to move my B camera to see if I can get a better shot.
Yeah. Cause when I, here, watch, I'm going to switch it back to my other screenshot that I had. And then, you'll see it blurring. See how it's blurring that? But at least it's probably not going to flash, but it's, like, blurring that background. But anyways, I forgot what I was talking about.
You were going to say something cool about Toby and Shopify and something dope.
Oh, the Kool-Aid. Like when I was really in love with Magento, I was fully in love drinking the Kool-Aid. And that's, I think, part of how I operate. Like, I like to really believe in something deeply and be, like, all in, you know, whereas other people are like, let's be strategic about which platforms make sense for this and that and this and that. And that's fine. Like, obviously that makes sense, but it's just kind of how I operate, you know? So it's good to be skeptical about, you know, it's good to be skeptical about leaders and people in power. Like, I get that as a principle, but I, you know, I'm more so like, I kind of fall in love with an ecosystem and a company, a product, and then I'm kind of just all in, you know.
Well, I have a really good answer for that, which I'm going to have to do some serious editing. But basically,
I think that's cool, man, because you're driven by passion, right? So yeah. I'm a very passionate guy, too. We all express our passion differently. But the point is like, you can't be the best at what you do if you're not passionate about it, right? Like, yes, you can show up and give your 100% every day and be good at what you do, but you can't be the best at what you do. You're not going to be just a straight animal, right? And so that kind of speaks to why I really respect you as a person, because you're a serial inventor. You're someone who has whatever you put your mind to, you do it 100%. Like you know, like you said, hey, I'm going to start a SaaS email platform for an ecosystem. And you did it. And you charged on. You made it to V1, V2, and then you exited. Right. Like, you're like, hey, this has lived its course. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to focus on these challenges now. And I think that's awesome, right? Because you, and like, but it comes with having a builder mentality, because you're not just someone who's like coming at it from a corporatist or doing the flashing again, man. It's terrible. The flashing is crazy. Don't worry. There wouldn't be a podcast without technical difficulties.
Flashing again.
What I was going to say was, sorry, it's just, I just want this to come out good on the editing floor. What I was saying was like, it was something about, it was something, I forgot what I was going to say because the flashing killed me. It was something about you and the way you also approached like building. Oh yeah, the way you build, right? So you as a builder, because you're a developer, because you're a creator, because you're essentially a digital carpenter, you can take that term if you want.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, you're a digital carpenter. We're weaving poetry here. Yeah. So you're a digital carpenter. So it's not just like, you're like, oh, I have an idea, and then you go hire a guy and Upwork or whatever, and you're like, okay, cobble this together, which a lot of entrepreneurs do, right? They have their team. They have their go-to guys, and that's how they make stuff happen. But what I respect about you is you just go build it, and you're like, hey, man, I made a beta over the weekend. And then you're talking about it, you're putting it out there. And that's what the best people do, is they just put their product out. They don't sit on it for a year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the best people do, but there's...
No, you got to build it and ship it, man. You got to ship it.
that's one approach that can work really well. It can also, it's also good to be really rigorous. I'm not, I'm more like the, what's the phrase? Move fast and break things, you know?
Yeah. That's a very good point.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I appreciate that, dude. That makes me feel good. That's very encouraging.
Well, you deserve encouragement because you make things happen. So I see you're wearing an FC Barcelona hat. I'm not going to try to pronounce the King's Spanish because I can't do it.
Dude,
my list is only accidental. So are you going?
No, I think my dad gave me this hat. So I don't, I'm not like a fan or anything like that.
Okay. Do you like football? Do you like the soccer?
I'm not, like, my wife is a pretty, like, on the, during the World Cup, my wife like watches it at all hours of the night. But and I'm I'll watch clips. Like I like highlight clips as much as the next guy.
Yeah, you like to see the excitement. But then, given that you're in Austin, have you been to an Austin game or like taking the kids to an MLS game in Austin? Because I heard it's amazing.
We haven't. You know, it's tough because our kids are so young and it's hard to do anything with them. So
I respect we haven't that, done. Man. It's difficult to get the kids in the car and go anywhere without.
It's like you get your go-to places. Like there's a hamburger spot.
Yeah, that has you go a kids for ice cream.
Play. Yeah. It has a kids playground. That's our go-to spot. We go there like, it's like 12 minutes drive. And even still, there's always like a 60% chance something's going to go off the rails with one of the kids. So it's just like you keep, you know, you, you get something that works, you kind of stick with it. It's funny because I was at the Domain, which is this nice shopping area.
I know about the Domain. It's probably gotten so fire by now because I remember when it came out like 8 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, it's cool. It's gotten busier and busier. And I was just walking by and seeing people just, you know, having a nice breakfast on a Sunday or whatever it was, a nice lunch. And I was like, man, I was like, people can like imagine being able to just go out on a weekend, eat somewhere like different place, like just go to pick some random place and just have like a nice relaxing meal. Well, yeah. I was like, we haven't been able to do that for as long as I can remember. Well, you know,
that's such a good topic because yeah, when you have more than one kid, really when you have more than two kids, that becomes even harder, right? Like two kids, okay, you can manage it. One kid, great. You're just coming with us wherever we go. You're an accessory. But two or like three or more kids, forget about it. It's very hard. Different ends of the spectrum, different things going on. And it's so funny you said that because I was just talking earlier to people that are in, you know, like younger people that are in relationships but don't have kids. And I'm like, it's very hard to willingly end that part of your adult life. So I know why a lot of people put off having children because it's like you're literally signing a contract. Be like, we can't do – oh, you remember that time we spontaneously went on vacation? Nope. Remember, you know, we went this? Nope. So I don't know if you feel like this, but if you even get a date night with your wife – do you feel like there's like a ticking clock over your head? Like, oh man, like we got to be back. Like, you know, we can't enjoy this too much because it's going to, you know, time's running out. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's like you try to do date nights and I'm not as good as that as I should be. But even when you do them, it's hard to just enjoy. Like you forget how to just have a good time.
Yeah, it feels foreign. So,
yeah, it feels foreign. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, but I'm sure over time we're going to be better and better about that. But,
life is about constant improvement. And so you definitely didn't mean to go in any dark places, man. We're all just trying to live our lives.
That's not a dark place.
No, but I mean like that feeling of, oh, I wish I could do X, Y, and Z more. It'll come, you know, like I feel the same way. Like I got to go see Toto, the band Toto, with my wife the other night. You know, Africa, Hold the Line, that band Toto, and it was just so nice to like go do something, and like it just reminds you, like, oh yeah, this is possible. So I would just say, like, once you get a taste, it kind of like makes you want more, but it also just says, oh yeah, this is cool. We can exist in this way, and I really appreciate it. So it makes you appreciate the moments more.
I think that's why people are so chill and happy when they get to the other side of kids and they can have like a normal life type deal, and they can, and then they probably really appreciate it more so than like if you're in your 20s,
like when you're on vacation and you see those old couples like chilling, enjoying the vacation, right? Like,
yeah.
And they're like, my son's a lawyer in Pennsylvania, and I'm Grandpa Joe. Yeah, that's so funny. It's so true, man.
Yeah.
Like they just have this baseline chill that you can't unfathom, but now, well, we can fathom it. So you
can't touch it.
Yeah, you can't touch this. One more topic I was going to ask you about is, do you want to hear the jingle or the...
Oh, yeah.
You know...
Let's get it. Yeah.
So the only challenge I have is like, I don't know how to share all, like, so on, you know, on OBS, I can like share a source and the audience will hear it. How do I pipe out some audio without doubling the audio? Like, so if I wanted to put on a YouTube video, have you hear it while I hear it, so there can be a real time reaction.
My understanding, I think it's super complicated. It's
hard.
Shockingly complicated to do that. Yeah.
Well, I think I know how to do it. I just figured it out. Oh, no. Well, you know, OBS has virtual camera, right?
In OBS, I think it's, you can just add, you can just.
No, but I'm saying if I use OBS as I need to give you an external audio source, right? Like I need to be able to turn on an audio source and make that my microphone mixed with my microphone. So I think, you know, OBS has virtual camera. Can you set the virtual camera as the audio source as well? If you can, that's how you could do it.
Not, No, like the video and the audio
Like a
sources are
virtual
separate.
mic. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you can make a virtual mic, then I could just mix. Oh, I know what could do it. I know what could do it. I know what can do it. You ready for this?
All right.
This is gonna blow your mind. Modern technology, my man. I'm gonna have to kill the B camera for this, but this is modern technology. Because the Rodecaster board has Bluetooth as an input. So I can pipe
Oh, there
in
you go.
Bluetooth audio. See, I wish I had
Yeah,
charged
that's
this
the
at
move.
home now, because that would have been easy. But now I'm just gonna do that really quick. Because then I can actually play you and get your reactions to the jingles. I'm gonna kill this second B camera. It's been nice knowing you. How do I actually pull that thing out of here? Okay, check this out. So you can't see me, but hopefully you can hear me. I can go to my
Yeah, I can
second
hear you.
source. I'm going to my second source. No device connected. Discoverable as Rodecaster Pro. So check this out. So I can go connect. My cat peed on something or did something bad. It's no good, man. Rodecaster Pro. All right, I've connected to the Rodecaster Pro. Oh, my iPhone is connected. Yes. Okay. So there's no processing on this channel. So I'm not going to be able to show you the video, right? Yeah, because if I don't know how to show you the video. Maybe I can share screen too. Whatever. Let's just start with audio and start with it. So
Okay.
if I go here, so check it out. I'm going here. This is the part of the show where we play a random song for our buddy Kalen. So this is the e-commerce hotline jingle. I'll play you the country song, okay? You ready for this? I don't
Oh,
know if you
hell
hear
yeah.
it.
If you need
Yeah, I
help
hear
with
it.
e-commerce but don't
You hear
have
it?
time, call the e-commerce
Yeah.
hotline. If you need help to make your store shine, call the e-commerce hotline. Your
It's
store needs
so
improving,
Don't
don't
deny.
deny. Gotta call the e-commerce hotline. Call
That's so
888-499-3266.
Your store will be fine. 888-499-3266. Make your store shine. E-commerce
Can you just
hotline.
can you imagine the
E-commerce
guy?
hotline.
Can you imagine the guy recording this? He's like in Nashville. He's trying to like get a music career going. He's like, gotta make some money on the side. He's like, what the hell? No, that's hilarious, man. That's
Yeah,
hilarious.
so that so how
Amazing.
that happened is that's actually off Fiverr. And apparently the guy who did the real e-commerce hotline theme song, which I'll play you in a second, and there's two B-roll versions. Let me just see if I can do one more thing But that guy was on Fiverr and they did that in one take. Like meaning like there was only one back and forth. Oh. It's so funny I got over the got, I forgot I had the keyboard and mouse in front of me. I never even had to leave my chair. I'm just trying to see if I can set the outbound audio of the computer to be this. Okay, never mind. Anyway, so I'm gonna play you the second song. This
Okay.
is called Hit Us Up. Okay, so these are Shopify focused e-commerce hotline jingles. Okay, so this is a live
What?
video of Kalen reacting to a song. There's no music video for this. There is a music video for the main jingle and the country song with me lip syncing it, but this is called Hit Us Up. Okay.
E-commerce, I know you're selling online. Heard you need some help when it come to Shopify. Hey, we got what you need, help you to succeed. We can make it happen, true, yes indeed. 888-499-ECOM, 888-499-3266, 888-499-ECOM,
Okay, so
888-499-3266. Yeah,
that's when I
hit
was like,
us up,
okay,
yeah.
this is gonna be a Shopify hotline. A more Shopify centric. So then is the other one. This is called Fly. And then I'll spare you.
When it come to e-commerce, doing everything online, we are here to help. Hey, we wanna see you fly. And on Shopify, we got what you
Yeah,
need.
these sound
Ain't
more
no
modern.
holding back. Make sure.
Yeah, this is like hip hop.
888-499-3266. You need to get like how they do like effects on the vocals and stuff like that. Maybe it's a Post Malone type.
Oh, see, that would be a good next one. Let me get like an emo rapper, you know, like or a Taylor
yeah,
Swift
e-commerce
hotline. And you've heard the original, right? The Alpha and Omega e-commerce hotline jingle.
Oh yeah, I think
do you
so.
Know that
I think
one?
So. I think I've heard that original one.
All right, I'm just gonna get your reaction. Probably cut it, but here, check it out. It's right here. This is the original e-commerce hotline jingle. Okay, ready? Yeah, this is the original.
7% battery. I think I got to plug.
All right, well, yeah, we're going to wrap after this anyhow because I didn't have a good closing philosophy. With e-commerce, but don't have time. Call e-commerce hotline. E-commerce hotline. Such a classic banger. To make your store shine. Call e-commerce hotline. E-commerce hotline. 888-499-3266. 888-499-3266. Want to see you win. Call e-commerce hotline. E-commerce hotline. Ooh. Yeah, so man,
you've been iterating on the jingles, my brother.
Yeah, this has been iterating. So that's from September of the year of our Lord 2020. So let's do a little outro because nothing like a stale recording session to kill anyone. But this was awesome. I would say let's see how it comes out in the editing floor. So, with this flickering, man. Yeah, oh my gosh. Times. But why is it flickering?
Did it flicker on the black?
Yeah, your face, you're just like right now. Like, something is wrong with your setup, man.
No. I promise you, it's not my setup, dude. Because I'm, it's Riverside, dude. It's doing some post processing, man. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, but what is that? Oh, because they do have unvarnished versions of the video. I don't know. We're gonna discover this.
I think the uploaded video should be raw, so I think.
Better be, for all this money we're paying for Riverside. Just kidding. They have good support. Like, so far, the bot has been enough, but I believe that there's someone going to help me 24/7 if I need it.
Okay,
so I'm here with the flickering maestro of Mesa, the man with the most automations. And we want to thank you for joining us on this edition of E-Commerce Hotline podcast. I'm Mayor Bianchi, the host, the founder of Bremeyer, the madman behind the E-Commerce Hotline, and my buddy here, Kalen Jordan, the man among men, would like to say goodbye. Kalen, do you have any parting words for the audience as you jigger with your video here and mess with it?
Just say have a good weekend, but I don't know when this is coming out. We're recording on a Friday, but
it might be up tonight. You never know. I might carefully release it tomorrow, but
hey man,
LinkedIn on Saturdays is kind of dry, but I did say I want to post every day.
I hope you guys if you got to the end, I hope you're planning to rewatch it from the beginning. Make sure you get all the juicy nuggets. Make sure you get all the insights, all the tips, all the drama, all the insights, all the philosophizing. You know, listen back to those jingles. Make sure you got them locked into the dome. And that's it, man. Good times.
If you need help with e-commerce but don't have time, call the e-commerce hotline. If you need help to make your store shine, call the e-commerce hotline. Your store needs improving, don't deny. Gotta call e-commerce hotline. Call 888-499-3266. Your store will be fine. 888-499-3266. Make your store shine. E-commerce hotline. E-commerce hotline.